boys are mellow as the honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. It's a sunny day here in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And the perfect day to be sitting in the studio with AC on, drinking some rum old fashions with my good buddies, Brian Miller and Ryan
Laloya,
sorry. I just took a sip of this, so it got to me. Guys, congrats on a year of doing Tiki Mondays.
Thanks,
David. That's an amazing accomplishment. I remember when you first started doing this, obviously, Ryan, you've been on several times. Ryan, you've been on once before when we did the Tiki All-Star show. That's a long applause, and that's a well-deserved one. I remember you saying you thought this was probably just going to be something you did for a couple of months, and you weren't sure how you were going to book it out, and then you realized, holy shit, I'm booked out for 6 months. You were telling Ryan that, and you're like, wait a minute, this is something like bigger than what we ever expected.
I mean, we're still, you know, a small blip on the cocktail radar, but I don't really care, actually. I'm happy for the success of Tiki Mondays, but at the same time, it's like, I do this because Ryan and I love to do this. Whether, you know, we make money or not, Of course, we'd like to make money, but this is just a blast. This is our labor of love. This is what we do.
Week in and week out, dude, you know?
Totally. And, you know, that being said, you were just saying earlier before the show that, you know, this has kind of spawned a lot of new Tiki Nights around the country.
We've been, I mean, it's great. I don't know if it has, I wouldn't assume that it has anything to do with us, but obviously, Brother Cleave up in Boston doing Tiki Tuesdays. I just found out for a couple of weeks now, Joe Swifka, who used to be the head bartender at Lani Kai, is doing Tiki Tuesdays now at La Descarga out in L.A. Obviously, you have Martin Kate, you know, who does Tiki pretty much every day of his life. You know, and the people at the Mai Kai. I mean, there's a lot. It's growing. I mean, it's not a passing fad anymore. I think Tiki is something that's in everybody's consciousness now, and more people are realizing, hey, this is fun. Like, why don't we do more of this?
It's giving me hope to, like, one day open up my rodeo bar.
It's the same thing. I mean, in a way, you could say when, I remember years ago talking with Phil Ward, and he, you know, he's obviously become the beacon for tequila, and when I was starting to do Tiki drinks at Pegu Club, he was like, Brian, do you really want to be known as the Tiki guy? And I was like, it's pretty fucking rich coming from the tequila guy, you know. Like, being specialized like that, I guess, doesn't seem, you know, may not be the smartest business move, but at the same time, it's like doing what you love. It's not really work anymore, you know. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of that, I mean, especially for our listeners, I think a lot of them have had an opportunity to go to one of the Tiki Nights.
Hope so.
definitely. They definitely know just how much fun it is. And that style of drink and that whole history and atmosphere, that just, it's meant to be fun. And it definitely is fun. I mean, like, I can't say that I've certainly survived all of them.
I've never seen you leave with a frown on your face.
I may have been injured at a couple of them, but yeah, or, you know, at least injured in the morning. But yeah, they're always so much fun, and, you know, it's about, like, good fun music, good awesome drinks, and the creativity, which comes from a lot of these. It's essentially a guest bartending night, a running guest bartending night where not all of these people are necessarily Tiki bartenders, but they are bringing their own style, like you said, to the game.
Yeah, I think it started off when I wanted to have guest bartenders. The idea was I wanted to work with a lot of people that I don't get a chance to work with. You know, when you work at a specific bar, you work with the crew there, and obviously, like my time at Death & Company, I had an amazing array of people to work with. But I wanted to kind of expand that. And to be honest, people that I had worked with in the past that I hadn't worked with in years, like, say, Jim Kearns. Like, you know, Jim and I, there isn't a foxhole I wouldn't want Jim Kearns in with me. Like, I love working with Jim. And he was kind of an inspiration for, like, bringing other bartenders on. And then it just started to take on a life of its own of, like, people started coming to me saying, hey, when the hell am I going to bartend Tiki Mondays? And I was like, really? Okay, sure. Yeah, no, you know, it's like, I mean, obviously Brother Cleave was a huge one. Beach Bum was...
record breaking.
Yeah, I mean that was that was like having God bartend with you. I was blown away, and that was probably the funnest time I've ever had behind the bar. But so many there.
And that was also his only bartending shift to date.
That was the only time
the guy
he's
who
actually
writes all the tiki books today. He's
never worked a full bartending shift in his life, and he well, I mean. Some people might disagree, but for me, I literally had my head in the well the entire night, so it was hard to, I mean, I didn't even notice half my friends that were there. But the fact that that man just bartended the whole night with a smile on his face and just kept going, like never let the waves crash on top of him and like throw him back. He just kept moving forward. And that was kind of an inspiration for Ryan and I. We were like, cool, let's just keep doing this, man. Let's just keep having fun. And I remember that earlier that week, Bum had done a lecture at the American Museum of Natural History, and talking with him, I was like, I really love tiki. I was like, I thought I'd get tired of it. And I was like, what about you? You've been doing this forever. He's like, Brian, I've been doing this for 30 years and it never gets old.
Cool.
And that was just like, wow, cool, man. Hopefully we can follow in your footsteps and do the same thing.
So what's the typical process for you guys? Speaking of inspiration, like as far as like, you said, you know, it happened very organically where you had no shortage of guest bartenders wanting to come do it. And now we're getting to the point where people are starting to have their second one. I'm actually going to be doing it on September 3rd.
Exactly.
The first Monday of September. But why don't you run us through the process of how, you know, how these menus come together and how...
Well, they, you know, at first... I had an idea of certain drinks that I wanted to do. And then I kind of like worked them out. And when we didn't really have sponsors in the beginning, like when Julie and I did the first one just before Tales last year, which wasn't that well attended, but definitely had some nice people. Alex Day showed up. Your brother, Dylan, was one of my first regulars. Yeah. Dylan kept showing
up. Back when he was working at Spin, he was only a few short stumbling blocks
away. He was only
away.
A few yards away. So he used to come in and... That was, you know, trying to bring out a lot of tiki drinks that I had in my repertoire and put them out there. And then when we started to get more sponsors, it became like, okay, let's like try to create new drinks with the sponsors that we have. You know, because sometimes there aren't necessarily classic tiki drinks, say, for example, scotch, that you can pull from. So we just started creating more and more drinks. Excuse me. And it was something that it started off as like, okay, here's the menu. And then it was like, okay, well, now we're going to take Sundays because Julie at Lonnie Kai had she had closed Sundays because the business wasn't so good, which has been like a saving grace for us because it allows us to come in and literally spend anywhere between 5 and 8 hours putting together a menu.
So so... Tell us about that a little bit. Like, run us through a typical Sunday.
It used to start earlier. It used to start around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But Ryan works Saturday nights, so to be nice to him, I
do appreciate that.
I started it a little bit later, and I mean, this is something that is not a part of Ryan's job description. His job description is basically barbacking on Monday nights and. Even now, that's not really, how would I say this? It's not really the proper thing to do with Ryan because he's a bartender now. Like, he started off as a barback at Lonnie Kai.
Miller, I'll always be your barback, dude.
I truly appreciate it. I can pretty much count on maybe one or two fingers, my favorite barbacks, and Ryan is the one. And I really appreciate the fact that he's always been there for me. Not only have we grown as... co-workers, but as friends as well.
Oh, buddy.
And no, I mean, I really couldn't and I wouldn't want to do this without Ryan. And but it starts on Sunday nights. We moved it a little bit later. Sometimes we've had to accommodate, you know, bartenders coming in from out of town. You know, my night with Dom Venegas, he was coming in from L.A., I think, because his girlfriend Ivy had just done a tiki guest bartending stint out in L.A., and Dom came in, and it was... It's nice that someone actually shows the dedication to fly in from out of town to get there on Sunday nights and work with us. Phil Pepperdine, who just did one last week, literally showed up at, flew in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and was there at 5 o'clock
Wow.
to put the menu together. And we, you know, sometimes we're kind of inspired by classic tiki drinks. And we just kind of retweak them using the Mr. Potato Head theory of switching ingredients out in drinks. But, there are other times where we're just really inspired to like, okay, cool, I want to do this drink and I want to try this product with it. And the drinks taste different. And I like to say that the drinks that we do on, that we create on Sunday night with brands are specific to those brands, because each brand brings, you know, not all white rums are created the same, you know. So when we use like Denison, there are certain drinks. It's like, okay, could you use Florida Cognac? I was like, you could, but actually I like the way that the Denison tastes in this drink. So, you know, we do work really hard at this. It doesn't seem like that we're putting it, you know, that we're putting it all together in one night. It seems maybe like it's a little rushed, but I've been raised in this industry to basically have someone make a drink several times over before I feel like it's done. When Damiano Corrin and I worked together, who's a really good friend of mine, we made what, 12 different versions of simply a daiquiri.
It was more like 20, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we literally created at the end of the night, we had a pyramid of martini glasses with daiquiris in them, trying to create the perfect one. But it was just something that I had learned from my days at Pegu Club with Audrey Saunders, where she was just like, Brian, let's drive this off the cliff and try something different. When I, the first drink I ever quote unquote created, I made 30 different ways, and it ended up being three ingredients. It was Michter's rye, Remazzotti, and Lillet Rouge with a lemon twist. I named it after my grandmother, called the Roe. But I tried that out on everybody. I tried it out on Dale DeGroff. I tried it out on Jim Meehan. I tried it out on everybody on the staff. And it was just a way of like, you work through things. And we do the same thing on Tiki Mondays, where we just constantly work a drink and try to get it to its zenith, its highest point. And Ryan has become a really integral part of that, as much as helping us set up and stuff like that. It's like his palate also really helps. And I'm kind of hogging the microphone here.
You are a mic hog, dude. It's all right, though. You're saying some good shit.
I mean, I feel like that process, like you just said, you know, with this Michter's Rye drink that, you know, you
the
try...
The Roe,
right. That you try to, you know, 30 different ways on 30 different people. You know, that's definitely a process that we use not only in tiki. I mean, obviously...
That all bartenders go through.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when I was at Pegu and I got done with the shift and I was like, oh, maybe I'll actually have a row. And the guys made it for me and I was like, oh, this fucking stinks. What's in this? And they're like, it's your drink. It's Rittenhouse Rye. And I'm like, no, it's Michter's Rye. It's totally different. And it really is a totally different drink. Yeah. I actually have never made that drink since I left Pegu Club, because not many people carry actually Michter's Rye. But that was the lesson then, that was certain specific spirits actually can dictate the quality of a drink. You know, not every rye drink is good with Rittenhouse Rye, which I know is in the wheelhouse of almost every cocktail bartender out there. But, you know, there are some drinks, say for example, like Mickey McElroy's, it's not the Bensonhurst, it's another Brooklyn territory. But anyway, Mickey made it originally with Old Overhaul, and people started to make it with Rittenhouse Rye, and they're like, oh, it's a little bit better. And I was like, but if you know Milk and Honey, you know that they don't carry Rittenhouse Rye. They only carry Old Overhaul. So it's like, okay, you need to like think about that and be like, okay, the drink is differently Rittenhouse Rye versus Old Overhaul.
It's interesting, actually doing, you know, the limitations of the inventory that certain bars, especially the birthplace of these cocktails, come from.
Absolutely. I don't think you can ask for drinks that were created at Milk and Honey and have them be recreated at Death and Company. They may not have the same ingredients, yeah, or at Pegu Club or Flatiron or Clover.
I was going to say, just like...
Even the syrup recipes, though, too, probably vary a lot, you know?
Yeah, syrups and...
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yeah, but you know, that's funny that you said that and you mentioned Death and Co. because I was going to say the same thing. It's like, or even like Jake Walk in Brooklyn, you know, it's like they have a huge array of different whiskeys that they could use, but you know, knowing that that drink comes from Milk and Honey, then it's going to be overhauled. And if,
right.
it, for, if it did come from Death and Co., you may be...
It may be a Rittenhouse rye drink.
A Rittenhouse
you know,
rye drink.
Totally. And just like, you know, it's from us traveling around and going to all these different bars. It's like you kind of get used to what people have at their bar. Like, I know it may have changed. It's been too long since I've been to Milk and Honey lately. But Elijah Craig is their house bourbon. You know, so if you ask for a drink that, say, for example, has bullet bourbon in it, it's not gonna taste the same if you ask for it at Milk and Honey.
Yeah,
but we're talking about whiskey way too much.
Yeah, that, well, it's a good thing we have these old fashions, but made with rum in front of us to get us back on track. Actually, we're gonna take a quick break, but when we get back, I want to hear Ryan's input on what he's been learning from you over the past year, especially becoming a fresh bartender besides taking lots of shots of Appleton rum. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
Went to the preacher, said I'm a man of sin, still didn't mean the fear of God, but all he was a man, and I'm going down. Yeah, I'm going.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Backed by popular demand, Whole Foods Market Picnic returns to summer streets this August. Stop by the picnic at 24th and Park Avenue on Saturday, August 4th, 11th, and 18th. Our Whole Foods Market team will be serving delicious samples, and our inspiring wellness club team will be there too. And you can meet and eat with some of our amazing vendors, both from the local area and beyond. We'll be there each Saturday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we hope you will, too.
We're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte, and in the studio today we have the hardcore Tiki team from Tiki Mondays at Lanikai. We've got Brian Miller and Ryan LaLoya here in the studio. And congrats on
the bring the applause
year.
Back.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just, like, make a whole show of just like saying some sentence and then.
Can you guys do
applaud.
A whole interview with the applause in the background?
I think we should.
Do it.
Let's do the rest of the show that way. So before we took a break, we were talking about obviously. Well, we were talking about whiskey. That's true, but we're gonna switch it back over to a little bit of rum. We're actually drinking rum old fashions. Can you run us through what's in here,
Ryan? Yeah, this is kind of what Ryan and I usually do. It's a basis on Don's theory of what one rum can't do, three rums can. So this is like an old fashioned with two different kinds of sweeteners. We've got Demerara and Don Spices 4, and then we've got Cajola Bay. It's two different kind of sweeteners.
Don Spices
4, the cinnamon. And then we do Cajola Bay, which is what they say now was the Dagger rum from Ray and Nephews, or the closest replication we can get of that. Nice dark rum. And then we have the Summeroli Fiji rum and good old standby Havana Club 7. nice. With some Ella Makule bitters, Angostura, and Jerry Thomas bitters.
It's fucking delicious, dude.
Yeah, you know, hey, why make it easy when we're <Yeah. laughs>
So yeah, we've been drinking that. So that's been happening. Ryan, before we left, I wanted to get your input on, especially just recently becoming, like, doing the transition from being a barback to a bartender, and especially being a fly on the wall, as Brian said earlier, about hanging out and, like, tasting these drinks and, like, checking out the different techniques and, you know, obviously tasting a lot of spirits like we were talking about before and a lot of different variations. Can you tell some of the most influential and important things that you've learned recently?
Let me just say, dude, that I have forgotten more Tiki Mondays than I remember.
Well, I think that's true of all of us.
As far as the techniques go, like, I'm like, yeah, that way of stirring is fucking awesome. I don't know where I learned it. I knew it was from a Tiki Monday, but as far as, like, pinpointing that shit, dude, I really can't.
Yeah.
But definitely, dude, I feel like everything that I do behind the bar, I've just taken from watching Miller and the guest, whoever it may be, I couldn't tell you, doing their shit. And a lot of it happens on Tiki Sundays, where we're talking about, like, oh, why do you stir like that? You know, why do you, why do you shake with 3 ice cubes and that kind of thing? But, dude, absolutely. I mean, I've been bartending for 6 months or so. I mean, so I'm really new on the scene, dude. I feel so fucking lucky to be taking in all this shit as the fly on the wall. Like, dude, I'm like jump-started into, like, the realm of tiki and mixology. Like, you know, a year and a half ago, I had no idea what this shit was, dude. And now, like, I'm fucking, I'm in it, dude. I'm loving it. You know? But I feel like I teach Miller some shit too, from time to time. Like, for example, the Corporal Captain Dance, which he has perfected. I gotta say, he's doing really well. He's nailing it.
I couldn't dance before I met Ryan.
See,
I'm not sure I still can.
No, you know what? I can attest to that. I was at your 40th birthday party.
Yeah, there's some real bad moves then.
It's a give and take kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. So, especially like you were saying, you know, not remembering where you learned this stir from or this shake from, or, you know, Brian's crossbones shake, or, you know, whatever, which Garrett does at my
does
bar.
Get, yeah, does Garrett do that?
Yeah. So, I kind of feel like along the way, especially, which you're going to find out more and more, and we are all going to find out more and more about this, but, you know, the more, like you were saying before, Brian, you know, go into Milk and Honey and knowing that they have Overholt Rye and Alleged Craig. It's like, we go around and we see all these other bartenders, like peers and contemporaries in the scene, you know, and the industry doing things in different ways, and it's kind of like building a religion, you know? It's like you take parts of different religions and put it together, yeah. And you kind of make it your own, you know? So, like, you may stir this way, but you don't strain this way. You know?
I got a good thing going on back there, man. I wouldn't trade it for the world, dude. That's why, like, I'm like, when Julie promoted me to a bartender, I was like, can I still bar back on Mondays, please?
Awesome.
Like, oh, yeah, dude. No doubt.
It's like, yeah, you weren't going to get rid of that shit.
not for the world, dude.
Well, yeah. we're not exactly the favorite child of the staff at Lonnie Kai.
Not the black sheep.
But the staff there obviously is a great group of people. And but, you know, we've gone through our fair share of waitresses working with us.
Managers.
But actually, I don't know.
I've pissed off a couple of your managers,
yeah,
for sure.
You know, when Ryan got assigned to me, I was just like, after the first day, I was like, Julie, this is the guy. I was like, I want this guy. Like, please don't
cheers, brother.
Don't ever let him get away from me. And I really couldn't, Ryan. I mean, it's, you know, it literally does take a village. And with Tiki Mondays, man, from the bar back to, you know, we had an amazing waitress before, Annabelle, who just literally jumped into the deep end of the pool with no life preserver. And now we've got Katie, and Katie is a real doll, and it's nice to have her there because it's kind of, you know, she's Hawaiian, so it's you have that flair there, and that girl is as tough as nails, and anybody who's been in Hawaii actually kind of knows what that means. And frankly, without the support of Julie and Susan, we would never, I mean, when you were talking about earlier, like, you know, I can't believe this has gone on to a year. I literally thought Julie would throw us overboard probably,
dude,
within 6 months or something
when,
like
when,
that.
When you would talk to me in, like, last year at this time, you'd be like, dude, we're booked through October. I was like, No fucking way are we going to make it through October.
We're booked through October, but will we last that long?
Exactly.
But literally, it. I mean, that's another thing to have Julie and Susan Fedoroff like on our side. It's amazing, and it's incredibly flattering. Like, I can't believe the amount of support and, frankly, free will that those two women, Julie Reiner and Susan Fedoroff, have given to us. It's amazing. I mean, they're probably two of the sweetest, sexiest women in the industry, and I'm totally happy to be working for them, especially in an industry that is kind of male dominated, kind of a gentleman's club. To have those two, let me trust you, I think those two could probably drink a lot of the men I know under the table.
And, I've seen it happen.
Yeah, I'm, you know, and they're built like fucking brick hospitals. So, you know, I'm totally happy to have those two women be in our corner. It means a lot. And they've been champions of our debauchery. And hopefully, you know, this is, it's year two, you know. Yeah. Hopefully we're trying to get better. You know, I've joined Facebook and Twitter reluctantly, but you know, and I'm still new to all that, but we're going to try to take Tiki Mondays national this year and get out at some cocktail conventions. And, you know, with the help of Ryan and Julie and Susan and my girlfriend Cabell, who literally kind of keeps everything together for me. I'm really hoping we can take this out and just have fun. I think one of the nicest compliments I ever got was from Julie when she said, she's like, Tiki Mondays is the reason why I got into bartending. Like, it reminds me of what I really loved. And if I could just give a little shout out to my old man, I was really happy. There was one day when my dad came in with my mom. They were visiting New York, and they came into the bar with my brother and my niece, who, my 7-year-old niece, who was my first customer at Pegu Club. My dad came in and he was kind of like bobbing to the music in there. My dad, who's pushing 80, goes, I wish I was 20 years younger. And I was like, wow, that's really cool, because I'd love to have 60-year-old men fucking rocking out at Tiki Monday. It's been an incredible ride, and I am so grateful for every single moment that we've had.
Awesome. Speaking of that debauchery, you got any good stories that you want to divulge? You don't have to drop names.
I think you got.
All right, I'll let you go first, Ryan.
I think you got to come in and just hear from Miller's mouth, like the Birdman story. It's probably going to take up a little too much time to go through all the details, but come in and hear that one.
The Birdman story. This was I'll try to
paraphrase
to give this the
parrot phrase it.
Parrot. Yes, let's parrot phrase it.
See what I did, Jack.
Essentially what it was, it was like,
where's the applause?
Hey Jack, are you asleep? there was one night, another great Tiki Monday night, and there was a bunch of people in there, and I towards the end it was like James Menite was there, and Ethan, god, what is Ethan's last name, from Brandy Library, or formerly of Brandy Library,
Ethan Kelly.
Yeah, Ethan was in there, and there was this guy that was like standing there. And it was the very end of the night, and we start cleaning up the bar, and this guy literally goes, "Caw!" And I was like, and I had heard it earlier in the night, but I just kind of played it off as like, okay, it's Tiki Mondays, god knows what's going on. And at the end of the night, like, Ethan's talking to me, and this guy goes, "Caw!" And Ethan, like, turns over to him, and he's like, what the fuck is that, man? Like, are you trying to go after women? Because there's no women in the bar here. I don't know what's going on. And eventually, you know, as we're cleaning up the bar, I was like, Michael, our general manager, is like, Brian, is there anything I can help you do? I'm like, get the fucking Birdman out of here. Like, I just need to, you know, we're trying to clean up. Michael gets this guy out and kind of like gently walks him out the door, pushes him out, gets him outside.
He was cawing the whole time.
And he was cawing the whole time. And like, we had turned the music off because we're like trying to concentrate on like cleaning up and getting together. And we could literally hear the front door shaking. Like, there was enough play in the front door that you can hear it kind of go, you know, cha-chun, 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 cha-chun. And from downstairs, we can actually hear this guy going, cha-chung, cha-chung, caw-caw, caw-caw, and like kept going. I'm not kidding, for probably like an hour.
At least, dude.
And then Michael goes back upstairs And he looks at the guy and he's like, hey, thanks for coming. And I'm downstairs like, this guy's been shaking our door for a fucking hour, cawing. And Michael's like, hey, thanks for coming. I was like, dude, get this guy out of here. And Michael was smart enough to be like, dude, we don't know what this guy's capable of. He could be fucking crazy. Let's like call the cops. And, you know, we call the cops and Ryan's like, dude, I got to take the garbage out. Like, I don't want to go outside. And literally, I'm not kidding, he did it for an hour, but by the end of the hour, he was like, caw-caw, like he was getting tired.
He was losing his drive, man.
So by the end of the night, we were literally sitting there staring out the big bay windows at Lonnie Kai, staring at this guy at the front door who's still sitting down, but his hand is on the door. And we're like, dude, we just want to go outside. You know, Ryan's like, I just want to throw the garbage out. And finally the cops came up. And the cops were actually, surprisingly, they were really nice. The guys were like, hey, man, what's going on? Is everything cool? And the guy's like, come on. They, you know, and the guy ended up leaving without incident, but he kind of became the infamous Birdman of Tiki Mondays. And, you know,
I have not seen him since,
but I've definitely got text messages from, I believe it was Tim Cooper, who was working with us that night, April Wachtel, who was the bartender upstairs that night. You know, I'd get text messages the next day just simply saying caw-caw. And it was, you know, we've definitely had some pretty incredible crazy nights. Bathroom door's been broken.
Dude locked himself in the bathroom and punched his way out. Come on, dude.
It was just insane. I still think my favorite story, and since the man is upstate and probably can't hear this, I'm gonna retell this. But the night that you and I worked together,
Adam Kolesar.
Adam Kolesar is up out in the woods somewhere, spending some quality time with his daughter Ruby. But Damon, when you and I did the Scotch Tiki Mondays, we had our sponsor was Famous Grouse Scotch. And that was the night when I really didn't think about how much all that scotch kind of hit us. But towards the end of the night, it was like, you know, it was the three of us and Adam Kolesar was there and we're cleaning up the bar. And, you know, we do our typical, you know, Damon, I'll sign a menu for you. You sign a menu for me. And you were literally lying on the floor. You were lying
in front of the fireplace.
It was like an Edward Hopper painting or something like that. And you looked like you were concentrating, like you were splitting the atom. And by the time I got the menu from you, it was like BR. And it just kind of like, and it was this giant scribble. And I was like, well, you know, that's three letters that say 1,000 words. and Adam was leaning up against the bar, literally kind of holding on to the bar, I should say. But he was very quiet, wasn't really saying anything, and he was just kind of there bobbing, you know, kind of like a newborn baby. Like his head, he was kind of smiling, and his head was kind of bobbing around. And at the end of the night, you know, he left without incident. There was no problems at all. And then the next day, I think the three of us all got the email from Adam that was like, did anybody get the name of that grouse that hit me? And he told the story of how he had gone home and passed out on the couch. At some point or another, I think he accidentally hit his head because his head was bleeding, so there was a blood stain on the couch. And his daughter had woken up and was tugging on Susan and saying, how come daddy's not awake? How come he can't take me to school today? And I think Susan had politely skirted the issue and explained that daddy was tired and daddy couldn't come. And frankly, I'm always surprised when Susan lets me come in the house because I figure I must be, you know, the devil to her.
Well, more recently, though, was Adam's Tiki Monday. His second one.
Let's not tell too many stories about Adam.
Wow. Adam is a tremendous individual. He's our number one fan. He is the man who created, for us, he didn't create the name, but the Tiki Mafia Arg, which was actually created by, the name was given to us by
Wrigley.
By Jim Wrigley, former Santa Teresa brand ambassador. But Jim's been a great friend of Tiki Mondays. But Adam actually made a flag for us that hangs now next to the other flag of the New York City Tiki Mafia Arg, which is who we are, and that incorporates a lot of people.
And where you said you just got on Facebook and Twitter, so how, yeah. where are the handles there?
Well, it's weird. Having started it as a business, we can't friend anybody, but we can like people. I don't know. It's one of those things that people are like, ah, it's easy to set up an account on Facebook. Dude, that was like trying to bend a spoon with my mind. It was incredibly hard. That's why Cabell has been helping me with that. And actually, I brought on the Facebook and Twitter ninja. Angus Winchester gave me a little lecture and teaching seminar this past weekend on how to work Facebook. So any mistakes that I make on Facebook and Twitter, I blame on Angus. That's been good. That's just been about trying to further the brand and kind of own it, because pretty much just like anything else, you know, piracy. Everybody's
Tiki Mondays with Miller on Facebook, dude, right? That's
Tiki
that's
Mondays it. On Miller with Facebook and
on Miller with Facebook.
On Miller with Facebook. Blah, blah, blah. Tiki Mondays. I'm going to have another drink of this rum shot. And actually, I do use my real name. It's Brian at Tiki Derelict on Twitter. So follow us.
Cool. Awesome. Well, you know what? Congrats for the year. And here's to many more to come, guys.
Damon, thank you for having us.
Damon, thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you next time on The Speakeasy and at Tiki Mondays every Monday at Lonnie Kai.
Thanks, kids.
This is Speakeasy. Cheers.
Baba Doody, that cat is high. Look at that look in his eye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.